Hai guys, balik lagi di When We Talk About. Di sini ada host kalian, Vanessa dan juga Erwin. Hari ini kita akan ngobrolin topik yang cukup seru, masih korelasinya dengan sesuatu yang booming because of like the pandemic nih. Nah, hari ini kita akan bahas tentang e-groceries in Indonesia. Is it like doom or is it like a boom? Nah, Win, kalau misalnya kita ngelihat ya, banyak sekali player-player di Indonesia itu yang udah bergaung-gaung soal e-groceries itu mulai dari 2015 nih. Ada nama Happy Fresh, ada Sayur Box gitu ya. Nah, last year ya, masa-masa pandemi nih di mana there are lots of like things change from online gitu. And in as we have been in this pandemic era for like around like a year and a half now, it's becoming like our new normal. But after like, for example, PKM is gone or like everything is going back to like a little bit pre-COVID, right? Is it like something that will be sustained gitu in groceries Indonesia nih? Nah, because in terms of like this in groceries itu menarik gitu. Marketnya itu gede, tapi banyak sekali di Indonesia itu kan sekarang kalau misalnya e-groceries, nggak tahu nih Win, menurut lo gimana? Apakah lo juga belanja online sekarang terkait dengan fresh produce, Win?
Yeah, I certainly did do online grocery shopping myself during this whole pandemic. You know, I think it's very very apa namanya quite common lah in the last 1 year ya, kalau orang tuh ngakuin e-grocery shopping. I mean, when we talk about e-grocery, we're talking about retail business kan sebenarnya. If you look at the statistic, Van, store-based retail sales tahun 2020 di Indonesia itu turun 18,3%. That is crazy, right? And you know, we're seeing a lot of major brands going bankrupt dari sisi retail. Brands kayak Sentro, kayak Matahari, kayak Giant di Indonesia akhirnya mereka bankrupt karena nggak bisa sustain during the whole pandemic, right? So we're seeing two worlds in contrast here. Well, on the one hand, retail sales drop 18%. At the other hand, usage of e-commerce itu naik nyaris dua kali lipat di Indonesia. Gitu, you know, we're seeing 45% year-on-year growth in amount of transaction, and we're seeing 107% year-on-year growth in volume of transaction. Gitu, jadi in terms of like, you know, not just like grocery, gitu, tapi retail transaction in general, it's very much two world in contrast, right? So in my opinion, you know, talking about tadi your question about whether or not this is something yang bakalan sustain or not, in my opinion, yeah, you know, at least my initial stance during this podcast itu, I think it's gonna stick, gitu. I think it's gonna stick until even after the pandemic is done, gitu. Karena we're seeing a lot of the major brands yang sebelumnya fokusnya ke offline, akhirnya mereka banyak yang nggak sustain, akhirnya mereka going bankrupt juga, gitu. And at the end of the day, a lot of these brands juga akhirnya banyak yang starting to try to sell their goods online lah, kayak gitu. However, how much can they sustain this, gitu? While we see pandemic is not slowing down anytime soon, right? Maybe like even until the next year, we still don't know, gitu, kapan ini bakalan selesai. You know, there's always new variants coming in and everything. While on the other hand, when we see again the numbers, yeah, players like Sayur Box itu in the last year alone, mereka nambah 200,000 monthly customers. They're seeing 300% growth in daily transaction volume. Terus we are also seeing other players like Tanihub, who is receiving like 600% year-on-year growth in gross revenue in 2020. Terus, you know, we're seeing a lot of the incumbent B2C e-commerce, you know, vying for space in the online grocery business. You know, we're talking about Tokopedia. Mereka just opening up Tokomart tahun ini. Grab with their Grab Mart. Blibli juga buka Grab Blibli Mart tahun 2018 sih actually. You know, Gojek with GoMart tahun 2019, and Shopee juga baru launching Shopee Segar gitu. Jadi the competition for online grocery is makin lama makin picking up, and I think this is something yang might be sticking gitu. Simply karena the other competitors yang cuma fokus di offline retail tuh gak bakal bisa sustain juga in my opinion, itu sih.
Yeah, because this is interesting, right, Win? As you see, the trend is going to the online shopping for fresh produce, but the competition is also getting fierce, right? If we see from the market itself, yeah, I think the market for grocery in Indonesia itu quite big, Win, like 100 billion GMV in a yearly basis. But in terms of like the online penetration, it's only like maybe 3 to 5%. And if that's the ideal situation gitu, berarti kalau misalnya transaksi online itu in terms of the around like only 1 to 6 million gitu max. Dan ini walaupun in terms of the growth is like yeah 20 to 25% year on year basis gitu kan. Tapi is it like a big enough market right for all of these players to thrive? Especially lots of as you said unicorns like e-commerce now actually block in this small chunk of like market as well, right? If you think about it, you know, because the penetration is not that big up till now, and this is something that is levered because of like the pandemic when people started to use like online e-grocery application and everything, and there are lots of like small players yang sekarang udah mencoba mengusung hyper local gitu. Lo itu marketnya ini is it like big enough for all of these players to play around gitu?
Right. I think talking about market penetration, kan? I mean, you know, the penetration for I think like you know, the Indonesia juga kan masih belum tinggi. I think like around 3 to 5% penetration, right? And I think this is something yang sebenarnya if you're a startup founder, this is something like as an opportunity lah sebenarnya gitu. And what's interesting for me is since the magnitude of incremental change during this whole pandemic is so massive, I think even if it's going to decline, we're gonna decline to a new equilibrium yang mungkin nggak mungkin serendah yang dulu juga gitu. Of course kita bakal ngeliat ada sedikit bubble lah pasti di sini yang nanti bakalan slowing down and everything after the whole pandemic is done. Tapi I don't see it kayak going down too much gitu. Apa namanya in the next few years even after the pandemic is finished. What do you think, Van?
I think there are lots of like challenges in the grocery sector, Erwin, I'll say, right? Because in the end of the day, it's about how big is the market, who are the users that this like startups or like e-commerce want to target, right? It can be retail, it can be B2B as well. For example, like Happy Fresh, they play around like partnership with Lotte, with Ranch Market. Itu lebih banyak memang mainnya di transforming the supermarket lah, istilahnya seperti itu ya. Hypermart juga sekarang ada yang hypermart untuk shopping gitu kan. Nah, tapi juga ada seperti misalnya Sayurbox or like for example Segari gitu. Nah, ini yang mencoba untuk tap into fresh from farm to the table gitu kan, dari langsung dari petani ke to the customer dengan mengusung konsep okay, ini kita streamline the sales and distribution sehingga margin-nya itu lebih baik gitu kan, pricing untuk customer-nya tuh jauh lebih turun gitu. Nah, the thing is like this hyper local startups targeting like potentially more into the retail sector gitu kan. Nah, siapanya customer-customernya? Itu mungkin lebih banyaknya medium high nih gitu kan. In which yang juga resides-nya itu ya kemungkinan besar di Jawa-Jawa juga nih Erwin ya. Tier 1, tier 2 cities lah. Nah, dan in terms of like these people, they are really that a huge yet gitu loh. Apalagi kalau misalnya yang belanja-belanja siapa sih biasanya ibu-ibu gitu kan. Nah, challenge-nya adalah biasanya ibu-ibu ya not really tech savvy actually, right? And the habit of like people to shop like groceries to apalagi fresh produce ya itu biasanya offline walaupun konteksnya sekarang pandemi kan. Makanya this is the challenge kalau misalnya udah balik ke non pandemi heavy situation gimana gitu kan. Because digitization in the sector is not fully understood by many housewives who usually buy household necessities gitu. Also, most customers belonging to this older age group gitu ya, do not want to learn technical aspects and hassles which come with it gitu. Indonesian people too who are still very attached with several traditional habits gitu. Satu yang mungkin menjadi big challenge nih, how to transform even though now people started to actually transform, right? But still, this is a big homework gitu untuk kalau mau scale up in terms of like the players, the first one. Second, kalau misalnya kita ngomongin soal fresh produce gitu kan, the best is like how you sustain the quality and then can deliver it in the fastest manner. And in terms of the selection is quite huge selection, right? Meaning OPEX-nya cukup tinggi nih, terutama di bagian storage and also delivery cost nih. Dan gimana caranya to make it very efficient is like the key, right? Because storage costs might fluctuate rapidly gitu. Many elements are affecting the same like taxes, rent of the storage space, maintenance issues, electricity, many more gitu. Terus, besides that, the delivery cost can vary as well, according to like expansion of the target market, transportation maintenance cost, fuel cost, and other related cost gitu. Nah, terus kalau misalnya kita pengen ngobrol soal how to reach the customer in the fastest manner gitu kan, berarti kan harus ada hub and spoke, a lot of like warehouse in several locations in one way that can be done to overcome this challenge gitu. Ini banyak sekali model-model yang memang kalau kita benchmark gitu di India, kemudian juga di China gitu, yang namanya Miss Fresh gitu, mereka katanya, oh ada delivery 30 menit gitu ya, 30 menit untuk 16 city di China gitu. Nah, itu possible karena mereka memang there are lots of like mini warehouses gitu. Nah, but is it like a sustainable model that can be replicated in Indonesia? That we do not know gitu. Nah, di sini we don't see a lot of like value proposition yang dicoba untuk ditawarkan oleh all of these players itu yang ada distinct value proposition. Semuanya kelihatannya quite common gitu, trying to flock into the same pie, right? So it's more into like the challenge is like these players gitu kan find out like the way to get the value proposition right to the right customer so that they can be the ini apa namanya leading player nih. Nah, kalau menurut lo sekarang leading player siapa Win? Dan who will be big in the future nih for the e-groceries nih?
I think leading player, it's still a question mark ya. I don't think nobody is is really ahead of the other competition juga gitu sekarang. I think that you mentioned a few players lah, names kayak Sayurbox, kayak Tanihub kan been around quite a while. Terus Agari kan just raised their initial funding this year. And then what's interesting to see is again the big giants yang kayak Tokopedia and Shopee are jumping into this segment as well gitu. Jadi you know, it's still a question mark on whether or not we're gonna see like one clear winner in this segment gitu. Atau nanti at the end of the day, competition is just gonna merge kayak the current situation with OTA and with you know, e-commerce juga gitu. Now, however, Fan, you know, going back to your argument about whether or not this will stick, yeah. Again, if you look into the statistic of COVID in the last year, Indonesia, itu we got 40 million new internet users in 2020 alone, right? Kalau misalnya kita bagi sama 365 hari, that means we have like around 110,000 new internet users per day. That's how massive the effect of pandemic is to the Indonesia tech ecosystem gitu. And there's this super interesting research by Bain, Bain and Company. Jadi mereka doing a research of percentage of digital consumers out of total services selama tahun lalu gitu ya. Jadi ternyata there are two main category yang being majorly impacted, right? One is education, second is grocery, right? So ternyata dari 100% of internet users di Indonesia, the usage of grocery itu udah 47% sekarang, Van. Dari total internet users ya, bukan dari total population gitu. Jadi again in my opinion, the numbers is so massive that I doubt kayak ini bakalan turun sampai sejauh itu gitu, even after the pandemic is done gitu. And then like talking about players like infrastructure kan tadi kan ngomongin soal apa namanya mini warehouses in China and whether or not we have the right infrastructure lah di Indonesia, right? So there are actually already a few players trying to tackle this problem gitu. Jadi udah ada beberapa players kayak Crudible, itu mereka trying to come up with namanya kayak ini apa distributed cold storage gitu. Jadi mereka kerjasama sama warung-warung, sama yang punya toko kelontong gitu buat distribute their sayur-sayuran, buah-buahan gitu di kulkasnya mereka lah ceritanya gitu, cold storage-nya mereka. Nanti agent-nya yang bakalan ngambilin kayak gitu. And then of course there are players kayak Gudang Ada, kayak Ula yang mereka are starting to build this kind of B2B and decentralized warehouses juga gitu to disrupt the supply chain. And I think this is going the right way to improve the penetration of online grocery shopping gitu. Jadi yeah, I think again maybe we're a bit different here in opinion, cuman in my opinion sih tadi gitu, Fan, kayak I think it's going to be here to stay ya, even if the bubble is going to slow down a bit.
Yeah. So to your standpoint, I kind of like a bit searching, right? Still searching in terms of like the tipping point in win. Nah, cuma kalau misalnya each of the players here can find like the right value propositions to the users, ya. Nah, ini nih yang mungkin akan menjadi the edge of the players to be number one or number two di ini nih, the biggest in the e-groceries market. Nah, to that note gitu kan. In terms of like the e-groceries future prospect nih, Win, what do you think gitu kan? In terms of like the trend moving forward gitu. Kalau gue lihat sih, ini salah satu contoh yang gue udah lihat di ini ya, Tanihub ya. Mereka kan ada establish like the Tani Fund juga gitu, in which yang try to make it sustainable from the hulu gitu kan ke bukan hulu, maksudnya lebih ke arah dari segi supply-nya gitu, dari segi petani-taninya gitu kan, dengan adanya financing dan lain-lain, sehingga mereka benar-benar have like a proper supply from apa namanya sustainable supply gitu kan, dari petani-petaninya diberdayakan gitu. Ada juga yang nanti misalnya ini kan juga salah satu yang kemarin kita sempat banyak cerita juga tentang teknologi blockchain, right, in terms of like the smart contract gitu, yang itu akan mencoba untuk try to streamline all the sales and distribution in terms of like the transaction and everything gitu. Nah, ini kalau misalnya ada startup yang tiba-tiba bisa try to use like Ether to establish smart contract, itu akan jadi, itu sih kemungkinan besar pioneer banget sih. That's one of the key things ya yang I see moving forward. Ini mungkin nggak short term, ini mungkin mid long term gitu. Nah, kalau short termnya gue lihat lebih ke arah business modelnya sih, lebih ke arah kayak finding like the right balance, apalagi di bagian operations gitu, logistics wise ya, di mana kan kalau customer kan kita ngomong e-groceries kan pastinya maunya murah gitu kan, maunya fresh, right, maunya lebih banyak product selection. Nah, ini nih siapa yang bisa kasih lebih banyak disadvantage, right? My observation memang banyaknya lebih ke arah e-commerce players, of course, karena mereka juga udah establish juga in terms of like the application, UI UX-nya scale, operations wise juga udah lebih tertata gitu ya. Pricing wise juga jadinya lebih banyak bakar duit gitu kan. And then mereka juga udah punya stable user base gitu. Nah, I think if but itu dia makanya kan. Tapi mereka enggak fokus gitu. Jatuhnya kan kayak gitu tuh. Nah, tapi if lagi kalau misalnya Shopee sekarang udah cukup untuk try to penetrate like the in terms of like the this e-grocery gitu lah. Mungkin Shopee juga bisa jadi contender nih, Win, gitu. That's what I'm thinking about, ya. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when we talk about e-groceries before the pandemic, what's becoming the problem is somewhat similar to the other e-commerce segment yang previously is very very tight with offline space, right? You know, we're talking about like fashion, we're talking about e-commerce and skincare and makeup segment gitu kan, yang selama ini mungkin kalau consumer di Indonesia terbiasanya datang ke toko langsung, cobain liatin barangnya, tahu kualitinya kayak gimana, baru mereka willing buat beli gitu. Nah, I think it's the same problem with e-groceries, right? Previously mungkin the trust and why the penetration is not as big is the same kind of hindrance lah yang dihadapin sama makeup and fashion gitu. Mungkin kalau ibu-ibu terbiasanya ngelihat sayurnya dulu, milih-milih sayurnya, terus baru beli gitu kan. Nah, I think there's this missing link atau missing trust gitu di tengah-tengahnya. And I think what the pandemic has done is that it has forced the consumers to, whether they're willing or not, to actually try the service. And it's actually up to the service provider like Sayurbox and Tanihub and all the existing players to actually show the customers that they can trust the quality of online transaction in grocery gitu. I think that's what the pandemic has done to e-groceries gitu. So depending on like you mentioned, I totally agree when you mentioned about on the operational side, dari segi supply chainnya juga. It all depends on the supply chain, I think, on whether or not this model is gonna succeed ya, gitu. And I think another approach that might be interesting to see is if we benchmark to China and to the US, the likes of Alibaba sama Amazon, they're also udah buka their own kayak smart grocery gitu, and in the physical space gitu. Jadi kayak Amazon punya Amazon Go, Alibaba juga udah punya their own kayak smart grocery yang ngasih consumers itu like online to offline type of transactions gitu. Jadi kalau misalnya kayak di China gitu, contohnya if you go to the supermarketnya Alibaba, you try to buy let's say apple and a few other vegetables gitu, nanti within 30 minutes kalau your house is in the 10 km radius tuh mereka bakalan janjiin sampai di depan pintu gitu cuma dalam 30 menit. Nah, I think that kind of approaches tuh can even help the to increase the number of online transaction for e-grocery sih gitu, Van.
Totally agree. So I think one of the other perspective that sure that all the users that have been previously used these kinds of like services can be loyal, right? Stick, right? And also like scalable gitu in terms of like nggak cuma retail tapi in terms of like the size juga scalable nih. It's in terms of like user acquisition until the retention part. So very very interesting, Win. I think and looking forward, I would say, right, to see whether this trend will be like a fast growing industry gitu kan, or it is like is more into like going back gitu kan, going back to the traditional mode nih after the pandemic's like going better, right?
Okay, so I think that's it for our podcast today. A very interesting discussion, and we'll see in the next few years if whether or not the e-grocery segment will continue to blossom. Yeah. Okay, so thank you so much everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to follow our social media at whenwetalk.about. This is your host, Aaron Vanessa, and see you in our next episode. Bye.
Bye.